This is Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We have two guests now, which is Marcus Strumpel and Rudy Petrudi.
Sweet 16. Now we're talking.
First question, how did you meet?
Hi, yeah, we met actually, I think it was about 2 years ago. And, well, actually,
we
maybe
met earlier than that.
Maybe
I just
a bit,
didn't remember it.
Right, I think we should start earlier. I think maybe we should start way back in, I think maybe around 86 when I was 16. So this is like the theme of today, like Sweet 16. So I was thinking about what happened when I was 16, and I think this was exactly the time when I actually met Rudy the first time, but he didn't know me, of course, then, because, you know, it was 86, and regarding rock music, it was, I think, the worst time ever. Like, if you remember baby bands like Wham or Catch a Goo Goo or stuff like this, this was really not my affair. So there was like a growing scene around like independent bands, and the main most important bands for a couple of friends of mine and myself were the Fastones, and I think the Fastones basically entered our life when it was about this 86, 87, like this. And then we had a chance to really meet personally when Akim from Underwear showed me some photos of a party he did in his house in Den Haag. And I saw on the photos like a guy with Fastones tattoos all over his body, and I just asked Akim, well, that's this guy, I think I know him from some concerts from like 20 years before. And he told me, oh, this is Fast Mike, he's living in our flat, and like we are doing some projects together every now and then. And then he called me and he told me, ah, do you know that Rudy Petrudi from the Fastones is actually living in Berlin and he's looking for a designer and maybe you should contact him. So that's
and then you started doing design work for the Fastones?
Yeah, we did some small jobs together, like CD covers, and we just did a new cover for an album, which is
actually it's interesting because I didn't know what was going to be the actual subject of this interview. I just happened to put this shirt on today for no reason, but this is a tribute album that just recently came out to the Fuzztones, a double CD set of 42 bands from all over the world, and Marcus and I worked on this on the graphics of this together. So here it is.
But so Rudy, you're also a designer?
Yeah. I'm more of an artist, but it goes to graphic design as well. I've designed a lot of album covers, and I helped to design the website for my band and a lot of things. I used to be an illustrator for different adult magazines and lots of stuff. I did album covers for some other record labels and particularly a series for Music Maniac Records called 60s Rebellion. There's probably about 12 covers I did.
Is it like one big thing, being a musician and being a designer or being an artist, or is it?
Well, I think in this day and age, as opposed to the 50s and 60s, a musician has to be everything. I've found that if you really want to succeed, you shouldn't just be a musician. You should be a songwriter, you should be a singer, you should play more than one instrument, you should be able to design your own album covers, you should be able to do your business yourself. It's a hell of a lot of work, but I found that when you rely on anybody else, they're always going to do an incompetent job because no one can care about your band as much as you. So I basically do most of the work, as well as another band member helps me, and we basically do almost everything. I think the only thing we don't do right now is book the band. We have a booking agency, but they're going to be fired in a matter of a week or two. And then we're going to do everything. Yeah.
Okay. But you do trust Marcus, right? A little.
Yeah.
He's okay.
This guy has helped me a lot. I don't know very many people in Berlin. I'm very much of a recluse. Mm-hmm. I almost never go out. And it was just luck that we actually hooked up, and he's helped me a lot, and he's an extremely honest and brilliant guy. So
is it due to Marcus that you came to live in Berlin?
Oh, no. No. No, it's due to George Bush, actually, that I live in Berlin.
Yeah.
Uncle
George.
I'm absolutely a political refugee. I won't go back until the Democrats are in office, that's for certain. At least not move back. And even then, I'm not sure, because I love Europe. I've always loved Europe, and I've always wanted to live here. I've made some attempts to do so in the past, but they weren't as successful as they are now. I don't know. Yeah,
and
thanks.
Berlin,
thanks.
In particular?
Oh, the honest truth?
Yes, yeah, please.
Really? Because I've never met as many horny women as in Berlin.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that's a good ladies.
So it's super easy for a single man to have fun in Berlin.
Right.
Excellent.
We're staying.
Yeah.
Even the most shy man can do well here. All they got to do is go to a bar alone and sit for 5 minutes. That's all it takes. Yeah.
Is that true?
I have no idea. Maybe I should call it with Judy sometimes. Actually, this guy always stays at home, so I have no idea how he comes telling stuff like this. But okay.
That's the irony of it. I have a different story for different people, you know.
Okay. Now another story. Go
okay.
on.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Why did you? No, okay. A memory from when you were when you were 16.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Yeah.
Actually, I was sweet 16 because I didn't lose my virginity till 17, so I was actually still sweet, although I entertained a lot of unsweet thoughts, but I was still sweet. 16. I was playing in a band since I was 14. So by 16, I was on TV for the first time. A local station in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And my band did an original song on TV. And up till that point, I was like a black sheep in school. I had long hair. And I was in high school with a bunch of jocks. You know what jocks are?
Short hair.
Yeah. You know, they would like, you know, knock my books out of my hands and beat me up and stuff like that. I wasn't really popular in school because I was a misfit, and girls didn't want anything to do with me. So my band was on TV when I was 16, and the very next day I became the most popular boy in school.
It worked like that, actually.
Yeah, overnight.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was funny because then the jocks started to grow their hair. Yeah.
You caused a revolution in the
name? Yeah, just by being on TV. It kind of tells you something about how people perceive fame, even on a real small scale like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. This was a local channel in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but it was television. And no one else in school had ever been on TV, let alone playing a guitar. Mm. So all of a sudden, I was looked at entirely differently, you know. So that's when I knew I had to do this for a living, you know. Maybe I could take it to larger extremes, you know, and maybe I could benefit more from exposure, so to speak. You know.
With the Fusstones, you're sort of considered to be like the forerunner of the garage slash...
Well, not like the forerunner.
We are
the forerunner.
Okay. You are considered the forerunner.
I'm
sorry.
I am responsible for the garage revival. Me.
Okay. Yeah.
Me.
Okay.
Me.
I believe you. I believe you completely.
I want that to go down in history. Yes.
Yeah.
Me.
Okay. Me. It's noted. Duly noted. So what were your influences? Was it like Iggy and the Stooges or?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. A lot of who you would expect, but also a lot of people you wouldn't expect. When I was growing up, I'm a little older than most people that are considered garage revivalists. So although I was playing already in bands when the Stooges and the MC5 and Alice Cooper, all when they came out, I was already playing. I was in a band 3 years before the Stooges came out. Our singer, who couldn't sing, did everything that you see Iggy do now. 3 years before, we had never heard of Iggy. Our singer used to, we used to do a song I wrote called Crotch Rot, which was about getting venereal disease. Very much a punk rock thing to do, but this was 1967. Okay? It was totally a punk rock song, and he would go on stage, and he had a shirt on that would come down to about here, and what the audience didn't know is he would rip a hole out in his crotch and let his balls hang out of the hole. And then on the last song, we'd go into the song, and he'd rip off his shirt. So right there is Iggy, but it's 3 years earlier. He'd turn around, his ball sack is hanging out, and then he'd scream like David Johansen on the beginning of Personality Crisis. But this is 1967. And then for the next 5 minutes, it was just this audio assault on the audience where he would fall down on his stomach and hump the PA columns, and then he would jump off the stage and crawl around on the floor of the place we played, crawling on his stomach, and then he would find a girl and he would hump her into the wall, and then he'd run out of the club screaming. We got kicked out of every club we played. But in 1967, there were so many clubs. Teen clubs, you know, these weren't bars or nightclubs, they were just teen clubs. We just go to the next one. We kept playing and playing, and then we got a reputation. We weren't even a good band. We were all right, you know, but I mean, we could just barely play the hits of the day, Dirty Water, Pushing Too Hard, whatever, three-chord songs. But we got this great reputation from this wild singer we had, you know. And now I look back at it, and I realize that my band actually created punk rock, only no one knew. There's no record of it, you know. I can only tell people about it, you know, and they can believe it or not. But we were doing that 3 years before the Stooges.
Maybe it's time to listen to a song.
Yeah.
So this is of your new album? This is a new album?
Yeah, this is the newest. The album's called Salt for Zombies.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let me look it up here. And this one is called Johnson in a Headlock. Do you have a story with that?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell us afterwards.
Okay.
Found you. Now you got me seeing double, babe. That ain't nothing new.
dancing in a headlock. Oh, I can't take it lying down. I feel like I've been cold cocked, and now I'm down for the count. Hey, yeah, come on, dancing in a headlock. She put my dancing in a headlock. She put my dancing in a headlock. Yeah, and now I'm down for the count.
That was Johnson in a headlock?
That's really? What it was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what a Johnson is?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now you got to use your imagination and figure out. Now, this is only figuratively, though, because you wouldn't want to ever really put a Johnson in a headlock. But figuratively, she put a Johnson, she put my Johnson in a headlock. It's, as far as I know, the first garage song dedicated to the... quandary of interracial relationships.
Wow, those are really long words right now. No, there's more than four letters, so I'm wondering. No, okay.